Well, Friday night and the Saturday morning open lines, and it happens to be, of course, we call it this week, Friday the 13th. Just amazing. Friday the 13th is a time where a lot of people just have all kinds of superstitions. They're scared of the day. So I thought we'd bring in the guy from Pittsburgh. You're going to hear from him once a month about various subjects. But tonight, he talks about Friday the 13th.
This is George Senda, the guy from Pittsburgh, and I know you. You're afraid of a black cat. You're afraid of stepping under a ladder or walking on the crack in the sidewalk because it might break your mother's back. And if that cat should step in that crack or run under that ladder, you're terrified. Well, today, it's your worst nightmare. It's Friday the 13th, and that to you is worse than being trapped in an elevator with Roseanne Barr or locked in an apartment with Felix Unger. So be afraid. Be very afraid. And this is George Senda, the guy from Pittsburgh, saying, have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Now, you got to see this. He's got his YouTube channel out there, the guy from Pittsburgh, and he's called the guy from Pittsburgh because he's from Pittsburgh, but he lives in California now, Northern California. And he's clever. He's got his finger on the pulse of America, and he's middle America, folks. He's in his little apartment with his computer, like so many people are, doing his thing, the guy from Pittsburgh. We're going to have open lines, of course. We're going to open them up. Just about anything goes. But share with me your Friday the 13th story. People were acting weird today. By the way, at the end of the program tonight, being Saturday, by the time we get there, and we are now, as a matter of fact, the anniversary of the death of Francis Albert Sinatra, the chairman of the board. He died at the age of 82 in Los Angeles on May 14th, 1998. Truly remarkable individual. He's born in 1915. That's amazing, too. But we're going to have a little tribute to him at the end of the program. As you know, we use his bumper music quite often, so it's only appropriate to do that. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie back with you and your open line calls, and let it begin. Let us go to Mike in Ohio to start the show. Hey, Michael.
Hey, good morning, George.
You too. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, I had a delivery down in Knoxville, Tennessee, and had a chance to go by Old Gray Cemetery down there. And I was going to, I used to run about 6-10 miles a week, so I was going to run through there. It'd be a good
interesting place to run through, Mike.
Yeah, I know, but what it was I stopped by the newer military cemetery first, and I thought, well, I'll go through there first and then head on to Old Gray. And I was doing my warm-up walking through, and I noticed that, there was a lot of Korean War veterans there in the 50s. But what struck me was that their wives, maybe 70 or 80 years old, were buried next to them, and they had newer stones and a newer grave. And I just could feel the love in that cemetery from the veterans' wives that held on that long to be buried next to their husband.
Yeah, no, you're right. That is an interesting
perspective. Well, it's a great place to take a run, and I tell you, I felt like I was running with a whole unit of First Marines that day because they wore me out. I didn't even get to make it to Old Gray. I think I did 3 miles in that cemetery.
But very safe, right?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And remember our veterans at the end of the month, everybody. That's all I really wanted to say to you, George. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Carlos in Carson City, California. Hello, Carlos. Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, George. Good morning.
You too.
Well, a couple of months ago, there were all kinds of chemtrails here in L.A. We were inundated with these white lines all over the place. And people were going to hospitals with all these allergies, including myself. And I knew where it was coming from, these chemtrails, I was reading a report the other day that really, really scared me, man.
Why?
It said that chemtrails have their own intelligence. and that they're changing our DNA.
Little bacteria.
Boy, a lot of people are coming up with this Borjallis disease, all these fibers going out of the body because it's a new organism that's growing inside of them, changing their DNA.
You could be very right on that, let me tell you.
And George, that leads me to the next question. I believe that the Knights Templars were the Illuminati of the time.
They were. Okay? They were. You're right.
Right. And they worship Baphomet. But now, what was Baphomet? If you look at Baphomet, it was a creature composed of female parts, male parts.
Animal parts.
Animal parts. And when you look at what they call transgender now, the what do you call that? Is that transgender?
No, the chimeras.
What Bruce Jenner was going
through. Oh, well, yeah, that. But I think it's more of a chimera, a cross between man and animal.
Right. Well, I think that their objective, this is just like a stepping stone into the ideal vision of the perfect human as the Illuminati saw it, which was a creature like Baphomet.
You might be right. And I hear that Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner, has some mixed feelings now about what he went through. Tom, you've got a text message for me. What do you got back there?
This one is from Maria in Mission Viejo, California. I've been thinking about trying a spell from a book I have on black magic. Will I be safe if I do this?
No, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Not if it's a book on black magic. She didn't say what kind of spell she wants to cast.
No, just says I've been thinking about trying a spell.
She's
dabbling.
Got to be careful dabbling with that. And here's the other thing. We don't know her. She could be a great girl. Maybe not. Who knows? She dabbles with the dark side. But I wouldn't do it.
No, I wouldn't either. I don't think it's guaranteed that something will happen to her, but I wouldn't do it.
She's probably a very nice person.
Let's keep her that way.
But if she starts dabbling with the other side, something could happen.
Who knows?
Let's go to Maui in Hawaii. Archer, welcome to the show. How are you? How's the weather out there?
Oh, it's great. Thank you, George.
Thank you.
Hey, aloha to you, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I call for two principal reasons. First off, I really want to applaud and sign and stand up thunderous applause to everything that Alex Jones had to say the other night about you and about Tommy and about the whole Coast team. And
thank you.
I want to join in on that. Bravo. Second thing, I would like to remind your audience, in case they're not aware, that for the last several thousand years, the principles of alchemy have been practiced in many, many cultures. And I didn't hear it in recent times on your show. However, there are three very basic, simple principles that the alchemists have observed. They're called our mercury, our sulfur, and our salt. To distinguish them from common mercury, common sulfur, and common salt. Now, common mercury is a metallic representation or personification of the principle of mercury, but the alchemists were concerned with the animal kingdom, the mineral kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, and the human kingdom. Now, for the first time in all these thousands of years, they had an opportunity, I say they, we know that there was quite a bit of Masonic influence in the creation of the United States. First time, 1889, they had an opportunity to apply these principles. Mercury, sulfur, and salt are basically spirit, soul, and body, and is constituted in 1889 for this new experiment, the Great Experiment it was called then, of a brand new nation based on these principles, and we have, as a direct result, executive, judicial, and legislative, which is mercury, sulfur, and salt. Now, according to Thomas Jefferson, we should have a revolution every 20 years. Well, stickler alchemist might say that revolution actually would do nicely every 21 years, so you'd have 3 7-year cycles in which, during that process, these three principles, executive, judicial, and legislative, mercury, sulfur, and salt, would be separated, purified, and reunited to create a new being each time around so that it was a constant process of renewal. And without this basic understanding, we don't really seem to honor the separation of these three powers. They weren't in competition with one another. The spirit, soul, and body in the human level works together. They work together. They're not in opposition. They need to work in harmony. So I just really wanted to point that out in the middle. I've been wanting to respond to comments made by Howard Bloom, Craig Hewlett, Jerome Corsi, and others in recent weeks concerning our political spectrum and scene today.
Interesting perspective like that. I don't think these three bodies work in harmony anymore. I think that they're all in conflict. This is the strangest presidential campaign I've seen since I've been witnessing them and started getting interest in them after the death of John F. Kennedy when I was 13. This is just weird stuff, folks. And I still don't know how it's going to unfold. I really don't. And some of these stories that people are working on about the Clinton Foundation and, look out. Doug in North Carolina. Good morning, Doug. Thanks for joining us.
Morning.
Hi.
So pretty much I just wanted to start off with, I had a really interesting synchronistical moment when you referred to Frank Sinatra.
Really? What was the tie-in?
Well, being that it's Friday the 13th, or was, my wife and I met on Friday the 13th.
Uh-huh.
So that's a good thing for us.
Of course.
And she got pregnant, and now we have a beautiful child, but through...
Boy or girl?
Girl, Eleanor.
Okay.
While in utero, I played Small Hours by Frank Sinatra a lot in the wee small hours of the morning.
Oh, what a great...
I work late and I get home late, and that's just something that I always played. It's a beautiful, beautiful album.
Came out in 1955, by the way.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's out of this world. Anybody who has not listened to that album needs to listen to that album, and it's great. And also, I hear you're coming to Asheville, North Carolina.
I'm going to be in Asheville in August. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. I'm in Hickory, so that's about 45 minutes east of Asheville.
So you're coming by?
For sure. I'm going to bring my dad as well.
Great. You get your tickets, by the way, at the DW Theater, in theater spelled with the T-R-E, dwtheater.com.
Yeah, and I'm also really excited to hear Micah Hanks play some music.
Yeah, he's playing some music. And guess why he's playing the music?
Well, he's a great musician.
Because I'm singing.
Are you really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Awesome.
We got four songs. I wanted to do six, but my cheapskate producer is going to only allow me four.
Well, maybe you can work some Frank Sinatra in there.
See, what he doesn't know, though, is once I'm on stage... there's nothing he can do. He can't stop me. I could sing 20. He's stuck. Okay, but we'll see you out there. Make sure you come up, and we're going to have a meet and greet as well. So make sure we meet.
Great.
I'd love to meet you.
Yeah, dude, it'd be awesome. And, you know, like I said, that is really awesome synchronicity tonight when you bring up the Frank Sinatra.
Oh, that's a class. And how old's your father, Doug?
My dad, he's going on 64.
Oh, that's young.
Yeah. Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 30.
To be 30. Yeah. Hey, would you sell 20 years of your life for $100,000, which would make you 50, but you'd have $100,000? Would you sell
that? I'm okay with that. I traveled all around the U.S. playing music in my early 20s. I've seen a lot of everywhere, and I'm actually very blessed where I'm at right
good
now.
Good for you.
Right at home. And
got a little girl, got a nice wife, everybody's happy.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Life is good. Okay, thanks, Doug.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's go to Sacramento. Jerry's with us, Sacramento, California, of course. Hi, Jerry. What's up?
Hi, George. Greetings.
Hey, you too.
I just wanted to share with you that my cousin and I were both born on Friday 13th. So it's supposed to be a lucky day for you. But it really hasn't ever panned out very
much. It's not been that lucky for you, has it?
Not really. But now my dad was born on Friday 13th also.
That's weird.
And it certainly wasn't a lucky day for him because he also died on Friday 13th.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And so, I was born in 3/13/53. A lot of threes.
What has been for you the most unluckiest thing that's ever happened to you?
I really can't think of anything unlucky, because actually I'm pretty lucky all the time, I would think. But
any like mishaps or anything like that happen?
Not really.
Nothing. Okay, you're one of the lucky ones. Friday the 13th isn't. It's not all that bad. Pasquale in Utica, New York. Hey, Pasquale, welcome to the show.
For taking my call.
Sure thing.
I wanted to say something about the folks who were the looking for spirits and ghosts and stuff like that, because I couldn't get on then. So I'd like to do that now if I possibly
can. Sure, absolutely.
Thank you. And I have one other thing to say. If I'm not mistaken, when the Pope and the King of France signed the papers to got together to destroy the Knights Templars, that was a Friday the 13th.
That's right. That's what really started Friday the 13th.
I believe so. Now, about the ghosts and stuff like that. Now, I'm not a person who, I'm kind of a very like scientifically oriented person, but I was, many years ago, a member of the New York State Association of Amateur Historians. And I was an affiliate member, and I would often do things like go to local sites in the area from where I am, and I would take my metal detecting equipment, and I would plant flags in various areas, and later on they would see what they would dig and see what they would find. And of course, in my area is Rome and the Oriskany battlefield. General Herkimer taking his march of men towards Trattoria to relieve the fort, and Fort Stanwix. And I was doing this at one time, and I got a signal on my White's DFX, which is a programmable unit, high end. And I was going along, and I got this signal, and it was an unusual signal. And I planted a flag, and I walked away. And of course, with increasing distance, the signal that comes through a set of headphones usually diminishes. And it did not diminish, and it kept going and going, and I walked away, and continued to get this strong signal. So I was looking at what was going on, and I decided to turn my unit off. I turned my unit off, flicked the switch, and it continued.
Jeez.
And so I walked back to the area where I planted my little yellow flag, and I went over it again. With the unit off, and it's, of course, it'll go, whoa, let me make a little crazy noise. And
with the unit off.
With the unit off. And I proceeded to call it a day. I left my little yellow flag there, and eventually someone from the Oriskany battlefield, I guess, that went over and checked out that little yellow flag, and they didn't find anything.
No, there's nothing other than the unknown. Wow, what a great night of some great talent there, huh? Unbelievable. Louis Armstrong. So people have been calling, talking about these events. I might as well tell you about them. First of all, in St. Louis on June 18th, these tickets are going fast. As a matter of fact, the president of a hospital section down there, Mercy Hospital, our dear friend Don Sorensen, has bought six of them just so he can be there with his friends and family. I'm going to be at Lindenwood University on Saturday, June 18th, hopefully with a packed house. We're going to have UFO expert Stanton Friedman. He's going to be there. Rock historian R. Gary Patterson will be there. Mark Farley will be there from St. Louis. He runs paranormal tours. And we're going to have some fun, and the Jim Manley Band will be there so I can do what I do. Okay, so come on by. How do you find it? Just go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. It's right there on the homepage. And then, as you've heard, yes, I'm going to be in Asheville, North Carolina on August 27th. This is a very tight-knit, small theater, so these seats will go quickly. If you're in this greater area or if you just want to come in from somewhere, call 828-257-4530 or go to dwtheatre.com, dwtheatre.com. Okay, welcome back to Open Lines here at Coast to Coast. Let's go to Sage in California, driving around out there somewhere. Hi, Sage. Go ahead.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Well, I sent some pictures in to your producer, and I just wanted to call and say what a great show you've got. I'm a first-time caller, and I've got three subjects that I wanted to give to you.
Okay, and what kind of pictures did you send us?
Well, I drive every few months north and south from, say, Fresno down to Los Angeles area.
Okay.
And one day on my way back to Fresno, we drove past what looked like a UFO being transported on the back of a truck.
Ooh.
And you know those rides at the fair that they're called like the Gravitron? It looks like a UFO and it's
right
around.
Right.
It looked like that. So we took some pictures. Now, I was driving, and so my daughter took pictures with her iPad. And, you know, we just kind of figured, wow, this is the way it's positioned and held up. It almost looks like it's floating.
You never know.
Later, when we looked at the pictures, we see what appears to be some kind of reflective object out in the distance that was following us. CHP had the lanes narrowed down to one lane. Really interesting. So I wanted to get your take on transporting UFOs, middle of the day. Is that normal?
That's not normal. And they should cover them if they're going to.
It was definitely covered in black plastic and wrapped. But if you look at the straps, it almost looked like the object was kind of trying to lift off the trailer.
Was there a convoy with this?
Definitely. All white vehicles, white Tacomas, white Suburbans. There were CHP. You can see in the pictures I sent. There were
okay.
Probably five.
I'll look for that. Tom just told me he just got them, so I'll take a peek at them. We'll do that.
You know, if real quick, if I could put it out there to you, the Shadow Men.
Oh, yes.
My wife and I saw those kind of things in our house, and it seemed to follow us from one house to another.
Do they have hats?
They didn't have hats. It looked like Mr. Clean, you know, that bald kind of silhouette.
Yeah.
And we would see it at the end of the hallway. We'd see it rush from one room to the other. And we'd leap up thinking, you know, maybe there was a burglar in the house. So I just wanted to give that to you and to your callers and see if anybody wanted to comment. I know it's Friday the 13th. It's a little off subject.
No, that's okay. It sure is. Hey, thanks. Let's go to Skype. Rob is in California. Welcome to the show. Hi, Rob.
Hi, George. I wanted to talk about gold prospect.
All right.
I'm a gold prospector, and they're trying to change the laws for dredging. You know what a dredge is?
Yeah, but why would they change the laws?
Well, I haven't heard that. But they say that it is detrimental to this environment, which it's not. And fish actually love it, though they say that that harms their habitat. And we're also talking about charging $10,000 to use the water out of creeks. But so we're not actually taking the water away. We just use it in the recirculating sluices and things like that. And they're trying to take it away.
What's the biggest nugget you've ever found?
I haven't found too much. It's mostly flower gold, which is like powder. But in our club, they found like a gram nugget, which is like the size of a quarter.
What would that be worth?
It's at that point, I think it was about $500.
$500?
Yeah.
You got to find more than that, though, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. You find most of the powder stuff. Unless you're in a higher elevation, you don't find the nuggets too often.
I bet in the older days when they found these big nuggets. But what was gold worth then? Who knows? Text message, Tom, what do you have for us back there?
We do, but I first wanted to tell you, you don't know it, but we bought a hook for the show, so you get four songs.
Better be a long hook.
I know. This one is from Jason in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He says, hey, George, if you were going to put one thing in a time capsule going to the moon, what would it be?
If I was going to put in a time something in a time capsule going to the moon, oh, you know, probably a newspaper with the headlines of the day or something like that.
I would have lost my bet. I thought you would have said an air check.
No.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
Not that kind of egotistical.
No, it's not about ego. It's about leaving stuff for the next, you know, whoever they are.
But an air check is not a bad idea.
No, not at all.
Tammy, first-time caller, driving away in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Tammy.
Hi.
Hey there.
Yeah, I want to. I got a couple of things, like three things.
Okay.
First thing is back in about 80. We lived next to graveyard in Bellefonte, Pennsylvania, and I had a two-year-old daughter. And I lost a baby about a year before that, or 2 years before that. And she took and would always get up late at night and talk to this baby. She called her baby. One night, I mean, it would always be late at night, so we had problems with her going to school and falling asleep and stuff. Well, one day we went up, and when she was talking, and I, like, looked around the corner, and when I looked around the corner, she was sitting there, like, you know, trying to hand whatever she was talking to stuff, you know. And it's like, I was there for a little bit, and then she turned around, and she, like, somebody told, like, it said I was there, you know. So that's one thing. The next thing is I've been in a lot of bad accidents.
Then you've been lucky, haven't you?
Huh?
You've been lucky.
Yeah, I worked at Corning in State College, Pennsylvania, and my hair got stuck on a mixer.
Oh, no.
And it scalped me, and I was on it fighting to, you know, hold on. And I just seen everything go by, you know.
I would think so. Jeez, that hurt.
Yeah, it did.
Hurts just thinking about it.
Excuse me?
Hurts just thinking about it.
Yeah, if I would have kept going to the left, it would have pulled, if I was so stretched, it would have pulled the scalp way off.
You'd be dead right now, Tammy.
Yeah. Well, then after that, when I seen, you know, life things and stuff, I'm worried about my husband, my boyfriend at the time, and my kids and stuff, you know, that goes past me. I had that one.
You're not very lucky, are you?
I know. Well, I got a lot of sixes in my social security number, so I don't know. But then one other, a year, that happened in 92, 82. And, like, 92, excuse me. In 93, we went ahead on collision.
Oh, my God.
And when I was in the hospital, I was really done up pretty bad.
I would guess so.
I was a passenger. My husband was driving. And the lady ahead of us died. And they thought she was not hurt as bad as what we were, what I was hurt.
That's sad, though.
But when I was in the hospital and they had me in intensive care, I felt like I was warm. I didn't feel no pain. I felt at ease and stuff, but I could tell people coming in and out. I'd hear, like, a friend came up and I heard her talking and stuff. I seen a white light. I mean, it was white. It wasn't even light. It was bright. I felt warm and at ease. And I seen a silhouette
mm-hmm.
with a woman cradling a baby, like holding a child, an infant. So I always thought that it was going to be, because when I came home, I kept on asking my son, he was growing with somebody, are you going to have a baby? And then she was pregnant. But I don't think I was kept here for that. I think I was kept here. I have two slow daughters.
Well, there's a reason you're here. And maybe it's for these daughters. Maybe it's for something else that's about to happen, too. You never know. But you're lucky to be alive. More callers. They just keep rolling in. David in Somerville, South Carolina, east of the Rockies. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, David, thank you.
Hey, just real quick, I know you got Barry waiting to talk to you on the line, so I'll...
Actually, he's not on yet.
Okay, but anyway, I'm on a, yeah, I'm his brother-in-law, anyway.
Oh, okay, that's right, that's right.
I just got a quick one here, I'll put it out and I'll get offline so I can listen. But anyway, I not only have seen ghosts, I've had conversations with them. And also, I've seen UFOs up close and personal. And my main question was earlier for those people you had on there was I have three glass globes that have spirits in them. They've been in there for over 30 years. I want to know how to get them out of there without them. I know they're going to be pretty mad at me when they finally come out. So just I'll get offline and listen to your conversation. Maybe somebody's got an answer.
Well, but ask me the question.
No, that was just comments.
Oh, okay. Comments. I can't comment about spirits that I'm not that familiar with, but I got to tell you, more and more people are beginning to experience the unknown, the strange. I don't know why, but they are. Nicole is with us in Reno, Nevada, back with us. Boy, now you're hooked on this show, aren't you?
Hi, George. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I would like to talk to you about clairvoyance.
About what? You broke up right at the end.
Clairvoyance.
Clairvoyance. Okay.
I honestly believe that most people are clairvoyant and they just ignore it. You know, it's a natural feeling. And the more positive you are and the more positive energy you put out into the universe, the more positive that comes back to you. I'm lucky to say that I've been very blessed through my whole life. Do you believe that what you put out is what you get back?
Oh, that's karma. Absolutely.
You think? Is that karma or is that clairvoyance?
No, no. Clairvoyance is the ability to know things of things that are happening or the future. It's a... That's clairvoyance. Karma is what you put out. It's what you get back.
Cherokee's having a purple bird. You know, I see things, but it's the same things I feel like I control.
Well, maybe you do, but again, two different things. Clairvoyance is like the ability to predict and to know. You sense the things. You sense the future. Karma is what you put out. If you're a good person, good things are going to happen to you eventually. So you just keep doing that. Let's go to Jim in Newark, Delaware, not New Jersey. Hi, Jim.
Hey, George.
Good
two things.
Morning.
Something about Friday the 13th and Frank Sinatra.
All right.
Well, separate though. So I bought my last car 10 years ago on Friday the 13th of January, a Toyota. Still running great after all these years.
Huh, love it.
Remember in the 60s, the Japanese products were junk.
Yep.
Remember that? I think the same thing's going to happen with Chinese. They're going to get better in about 10 years.
Well, they better get better pretty soon.
Anyway, Frank Sinatra, did you know he did his version of a Beatles song?
What was the song?
Called Something, by written by George Harrison on the Beatles album, Abbey
Something.
Road.
I don't know. I'm not sure I ever heard that.
I want to get that, his version of it. Frank said it was one of the most beautiful love songs he ever heard.
I saw Frank perform live in St. Louis back in the early 80s, and he was great.
My dad saw him in Atlantic City when he was a young man.
Yep.
He's about 3 years older than Frank.
He was 31 years old when he started singing, really started singing in terms of hitting it big. And, you know, he was the idol of what they called the Bobby Sox crowd in those days. And then his career took a nosedive. He went to Vegas, built it back up again. The movie, From Here to Eternity, which gave him an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor, is what really helped turn his career around. And then his singing always got better and better and better. Let's take a few more calls. Kurt in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Kurt. Good morning to you.
Hi, George. Good morning. I called you maybe a month ago. I had that sign with my mom with the song Daniel. My mom that passed away.
Yes.
Anyways, yeah. For the past 2.5 years, I've been going to cancer treatment. And after 4 rounds of chemo on Peter Hill, I'm going to be in remission finally again.
Good for you. What kind of cancer did you have? Where was it?
I had rectal cancer. I still have cancer, but I'm in the process of getting into remission. But after the second round, I went into remission for 3 months and came back, and I had another 2 rounds of chemo. And, you know, on February 3rd, I talked to somebody in Colorado at a dispensary, and I thought they got a hold of some CBD oil, and that's what's actually getting rid of my cancer.
Well, I don't know if it does, but every little bit helps. I mean, I believe in holistic medicine. Good for you.
The lady I talked to in the store told me about her cancer. She had melanoma on her face, and she got rid of it. And other customers had gotten rid of it, and they said they had no options left. They had a month to live. They tried it, and they went in remission.
And you feel better?
I do.
Good for you.
I have some pain from sitting, and I drive a truck, so I don't have a choice, but...
All right, you keep fighting the good fight, my friend. Those of you on hold, I'm going to get to you right after the top of the hour break, and then we're going to come back for more. Little program notes again. I love mentioning this, but do like us on Facebook. If you're into the Facebook thing, go like us on Facebook. That's at our website, coasttocoastam.com. Follow us at Twitter. We're always sending out messages. I was sending out notes tonight on Twitter like crazy. I had a Twitter fever tonight or something like that. And email me whenever you want at george@coasttocoastam.com. We're coming back in just a moment with more open lines for you next hour, plus a little tribute to Frank Sinatra at the end of the show.